It's Monday of the second week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Today we gather at the Collect Church near the Roman Forum, Saints Cosmas and Damian, and we march singing litanies past the Colosseum, and then a little bit to the left, and up the slope toward the Lateran Basilica, and on the left side we come to the magnificent Church of San Clemente. This basilica sits on top of various foundations of other churches, going all the way down to a street of ancient Rome. There are archaeological digs for two stories beneath the present building, and you can visit them. At the lowest level, you are literally in the streets of ancient Rome, and there is even a pagan shrine to Mithras here. That was a rival cult to the new Christian religion at the time. This church seems to have been founded on a house church, perhaps even that of Clement, who was a successor of Peter, who wrote a letter to the Corinthians around the year 96. This church was destroyed when the Normans sacked Rome in 1084, and you see its third construction now. You enter the church through a courtyard much like that which the ancient Christians would have seen. The church retains its beautiful inlaid Cosmatesque floor. The main event, however, in the apse are the incredible mosaics, which include the oldest depiction of Rome of the suffering Christ. The inscription states that there is here a piece of the true cross, and also found here is the tomb of Ignatius of Antioch. People often ask me about the things that they should see when they are in, they travel to Rome, and I always recommend visitors to go to this basilica, San Clemente. It will be one of the most interesting and memorable things that you do during a visit to Rome. Last year, we were listening to Cardinal Richelieu and his spiritual insights, which were really very profound. That means we haven't heard from Father Troadec on this day for quite some time. This is from Toward Easter. Our Lord affirms that God his Father does not leave him alone, but neither does Jesus himself leave us orphans. He does not abandon his faithful children to themselves. In every soul in the state of grace, he is present, just as he promised. If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Our Lord is not speaking here of a passing, momentary, fleeting presence, but of a continual presence. St. Peter understood this well. He who said to the Christians of the first century that we have become partakers of the divine nature. This participation is so true that we are already children of God. What Jesus is by nature, we are by adoption, but by an adoption much more real than a merely juridical adoption, since it is the fruit of a true engendering. It is again St. Peter who says it, "You have been reborn, not from corruptible seed, but from incorruptible." This presence of God in us does not fall under the senses. So it is not a question of feeling, but of believing. Elizabeth of the Trinity understood this well when she said, "It seems to me that I have found my heaven on earth, since heaven is God and God is in my soul. The day I understood that, everything became clear to me. I would like to whisper the secret to those I love." Lord Jesus, the fact of knowing that thou dwellest in my soul makes me joyful and inspires me to be generous and confident. I do not want to leave thee there alone, either. Teach me to lift my mind to thee regularly over the course of the day, whatever my occupations and whatever my soul is going through. O my God, Trinity whom I adore, let me entirely forget myself, that I may abide in thee, still and peaceful, as if my soul were already in eternity. Let nothing disturb my peace, nor separate me from thee, O my unchanging God, but may each moment take me further into the depths of thy mystery. O Father, bestow thyself, and bend down to thy little creature, seeing in her only thy beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity,